forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's November 25th, 2011, and this is episode number 25. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. For most people, attending a funeral generally falls somewhere between pretty grim and completely gut-wrenching. So I got to wondering, what is it like to attend funerals almost every single day? What is it like to have death at the very center of your life's work? Who would make such a choice? And how on earth do they keep themselves from getting depressed? Funeral director Ashley Cozine of Cozine Memorial Group in Wichita, Kansas, tackled all of these questions and more. He struck me as cheerful, genuine, and motivated above all else by a desire to be of service to people in pain. I came away from this interview utterly convinced that I could never do what he does, but I also came away, appropriately enough for Thanksgiving weekend, feeling very grateful that there are such people standing by to guide us when we need them. Here's the interview. I am talking today to Ashley Cozine, who is based in Wichita, Kansas, and he is talking to me from his offices at the Cozine Memorial Group. And thank you, Ashley, for taking the time to speak with me.
Hey, my pleasure, Kate. Thanks.
So what I first wanted to get into was just your personal path into the career of being a funeral director. How did you choose this path for yourself?
Well, I grew up, my grandfather and my father were both funeral directors. And so, you know, as a child, I spent a lot of time around the funeral home, and I would go out of town with my father on maybe a graveside service, you know, occasionally. And when I was younger, I started washing cars and mowing the grass and cleaning up around the property. In high school, I spent my summers working down here, working here at the mortuary. And, you know, that was a great opportunity for me. It was interesting because I would wear a suit when a lot of my friends were maybe lifeguards that summer, you know.
Right.
And they were wearing swimsuits. So it was a little different, but I always enjoyed it.
Right. What was that like with your friends? Did they find it strange, your family's business, or did everybody just sort of take it in stride?
You know, that's a great question. It was interesting growing up as a son of a funeral director. I did get teased by some people, mostly, you know, people my age. But it's been interesting through the years as I have gone into that as a career myself. Many of those same people now, you know, I've served them in some capacity, or they've had a death and been served by other funeral homes. And it's interesting how that it's all kind of come around to the point now they say, you know, I really respect what you do. Mm. And so as a child, you know, yeah, sometimes I did get teased, but it was also interesting too, when they would have, parents come to the classrooms and, you know, for profession day or whatever, career day.
Right.
Whenever my dad would come, I was always so proud of him because he probably got more questions than any other parent.
I'm sure there was a fascination, wouldn't there be?
There was a fascination. And I think for me as his son, even though I got teased every once in a while, you know, career days with my dad were always, I was always so proud of him. And that teasing, it made up for some of that teasing, I guess you'd say.
I would say so. Now, did you live on the property where the business was, or was your home separate from that?
Our home was separate. We did have apartments. We had a fire 20 years ago. So we had, you know, when that happened, when we rebuilt, we did not rebuild apartments. But I was actually born, you know, here in Wichita and lived above the mortuary for my first year or so. I don't remember any of that, but, you know, then my parents did move to a separate house.
They did.
So I did not grow up here. But a lot of people in this profession do live at the funeral home. That's pretty common.
Right. Now, as you were growing up and going through your education, was it always clear in your head that you would go into the family business? Was there ever any doubt for you?
Yeah, there definitely was some doubt. I actually was pre-med most of my college career. And, you know, really was thinking in terms of a profession, you know, being a doctor. And but the interesting thing was, in the back of my mind, I think I always knew I wanted to go into the family business. And so, you know, as I look back on it now, I think, you know, that's kind of crazy to think about going all the way through medical school and residency and then ultimately ending up what I'm doing right now. So,
right.
You know, it took some time for me to really put my finger on that, but I didn't see myself doing this maybe right away, but I think ultimately I knew I wanted to do it. So it was a little different career path, I guess.
And how would you sort of define the motivation there? Is it about upholding your family's tradition and what they've built, or do you find that you also kind of discovered an intrinsic interest in the profession?
You know, honestly, I have both. I am very proud of our three generations that our family has been in this profession, but I do, my satisfaction on a daily level or daily time comes from, you know, taking care of people and seeing that I'm making hopefully a difference in their life during a really critical time.
Right.
So I'm proud to carry on the family tradition, but I'm, you know, the desire to do what I do on a daily basis definitely comes from helping people.
Right. So one thing I'm curious about, I can see where the satisfaction of helping people would come in. I would imagine, though, that it must be incredibly stressful dealing with people who are experiencing what is probably, you know, some of the hardest times of their life. Do you find it very stressful work?
Yeah, it can be very emotionally stressful, yes. I don't dwell on that as much. I think if I did, I probably would not be able to handle it. But as I look at what we do every day, you know, there's so many professions like a pastor or a doctor or something, I mean, where you're dealing with really difficult things, but there's also, you know, happy times too. You might have a wedding or a baptism or something, you know, positive like that. Whereas so much of what we do is really dealing with, you know, very emotional times. And, you know, it's not every family is, you know, handles that the same. I mean, some, it's a major relief to have somebody, you know, maybe they've been facing an illness for many, many years or something. So there's a relief when they actually do pass away. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, that's what we deal with, death and dying. And so that does present some very emotional situations that we deal with on a daily basis.
Right. And how does being in your profession change your thinking about death? I guess the better question is, does it, do you think? Do you think it's different than those of us who don't work in your profession?
You know, I would say yes. I mean, I think it does make a difference when you're faced with that every day. I mean, I don't dwell on my own immortality every day, but I'm certainly reminded about it, you know, reminded of it very frequently, probably much more than somebody that, you know, does any, you know, virtually any other kind of career. You know, but that's also a good thing too. I think it makes you appreciate your family. It makes you appreciate your friends. I think when I make decisions, I might look at it maybe a little differently than I would if I didn't deal with, you know, death on a daily basis like that.
Right. So what services does your business actually provide? I mean, I know there's so many aspects to planning a funeral. Where does your company kind of begin and end in that process?
Well, you know, really we do quite, you know, wide spectrum. We do pre-planning, obviously, which most funeral homes would do. We obviously take care of people, you know, what we would say as an at-need, in an at-need situation where a death has occurred, so you're dealing with that family during that time. Our family also owns a cemetery, so we're involved in that part of it. You know, so there's, you deal with families many times, you know, often well after the death has occurred, because they come out and visit the cemetery, and so you have an opportunity to kind of continue that relationship on with them there. We also have a crematory, and, you know, so we take care of services, you know, requiring that as well, memorial services as well as funeral services. We also sell, you know, markers and monuments, obviously with our cemetery, but also, you know, for families that need to buy something like that or design and buy that, you know, we offer that service to people as well. So really, you know, we're pretty all-inclusive as far as the profession is concerned.
Right. So what kind of education and training and certification is required to go into this business?
Well, you know, that depends on a state-by-state basis. So really, honestly, there's a couple of states. I believe it's Minnesota and Ohio that actually require a four-year degree to be able to become licensed as a funeral director and an embalmer. The state that I live in, Kansas, doesn't have, you know, quite that level. Most are more of an associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually an apprenticeship involved in that, like a year-long apprenticeship as a funeral director and as an embalmer. And so,
now, are those two separate things, or if you're a funeral director, are you also necessarily an embalmer?
Well, that's a good question. And again, a lot of that varies by state. Here in Kansas, for example, which most states are like this, you can be a licensed funeral director or a licensed embalmer. And so, you know, each one of those have a little different requirements as far as licensing. But there are some states that do require that you have to be a funeral director and an embalmer as well.
Okay.
So again,
Are you? Are you an embalmer as well?
I am not an embalmer. No, I am a licensed funeral director.
I see. So you have staff so you have an embalmer on staff, I would assume.
Exactly.
Got it. And so when you talk to people who are considering, you know, following a similar career path to yours, what are the qualities that you point to as being important to enjoy the work and to do well in it?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, I think, you know, doing what we do, I think requires that you're a caring and compassionate person. I think that would probably be first and foremost a quality that would be important for a good funeral director. The other thing, you know, I have a lot of people that will call me and say, you know, I might be looking at a career change, or, you know, I've thought about wanting to be a funeral director. And I'm amazed at how many of them have had absolutely no experience at all. They've not worked at a funeral home or, you know, had been around that, and yet they're all signed up and ready to go to school. And so I would say this to anybody that's considering a career in the funeral profession, you know, if you can, try to work in a funeral home as much as you can. I mean, we had a person that recently just graduated from Mortuary Science School, and he had approached me a couple of years ago, and, you know, he ended up even working here in the evenings, you know, for visitations. So, but that kind of gave him an idea of what the profession was about, and kind of gave him, you know, opened his eyes and gave him some opportunities. And so I think that's really important. I'm always hesitant when people say they're signed up to go to school, but they've not worked at all in a funeral home, because, you know, it's not all about sitting around in a suit or driving a nice fancy car. You know, I think a lot of times people see that and think that's what we do, but, you know, it's definitely a 24/7, 365 day a year, occupation. And it, like you mentioned before, it can be very emotionally demanding. There's days that I'll go, you know, long hours, and you know, a week or two later, you realize, wow, I haven't had much time off, if any. And so, you know, when you're in the middle of doing what we do, you know, you can be really busy and you know, you've got to take care of yourself and, you know, not get down. So,
right.
You know, those are things that I think, unless somebody's been around that, they may not fully understand what that entails. And so, you know, if they've signed up to go to Mortuary Science School or something like that without much experience, you know, I don't know that they can fully understand what they're getting into.
Mm. Just one last question, and this may be hard to answer because I suppose it's different for every family, but have you over the years identified what makes for a really beautiful or, you know, wonderful on some level funeral service? Are there elements that you try and focus families on because you've seen that it helps in some way?
Well, you know, a big thing that a lot of funeral directors I think try to do today is make the service more personal. you know, it's one thing to have a funeral service. You could virtually run every funeral service the same way. And, you know, that I don't think is beneficial to families. You know, so I think as professionals, what we are trying to do is, you know, what I try to do is gather as much information about the person who's died as I'm talking with their family. And, you know, there might be, you know, little things that come out in our discussions that kind of lead me to think, you know, here would be something that we could talk about, or, you know, maybe do a DVD tribute kind of showing some of these neat things that your mother or father have been involved with. So I think, you know, as much as we can, we try to bring in those personal touches so that every service is unique, you know, for that person. And I think, you know, those little things like that, I think, make a big difference, because it's not, you know, what you might call a cookie cutter funeral. It's a personalized service that's meaningful to that family and to the friends that are coming. And that's really what we're about. We're about celebrating life and, you know, helping the family and the friends that are grieving, you know, get through that process and help them heal.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for taking the time to talk to me. Too many of us, our only understanding comes from TV shows like Six Feet Under. And so it's just a real pleasure to talk to somebody who's actually in the business, clearly cares so much about what you do. And I appreciate your taking the time.
You know, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Ashley Cozine. Thanks also to everyone who has contributed an essay to Work Stew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in about 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the Work Stew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.